I signed up for yoga because I needed something to help me get back to my normal life. My mind was a hub of anger and regret after the toxic separation with my ex-husband, so I thought a little soul healing would do me good. I enrolled in a local yoga studio, nestled between a vegan cafe and a nail salon. The very first day I entered through the doors, a calming smell of sandalwood and lavender hinted that I'd come to the right place. Our yoga teacher, Mira, told me there's going to be a special Kundalini meditation workshop and I should attend it. She said,
"It's perfect for grounding and waking up your inner self."
With a comforting smile that most yoga teachers seem to have. I didn't refuse because it sounded promising. I wanted peace so I could feel alive again. Apart from me, there were about 10 women joining the class. Mira arranged our mats in a circle, placing a flickering candle in front of each one. Mira turned off the room lights and told us to take positions on our mats. We sat cross-legged in the warm light of the candles. The session began with a spiritual Om chant playing in the speakers, and Mira's soothing voice guiding us into breathwork. She asked us to keep our eyes closed.
Breathe in through your nose. Hold. Breathe out through your mouth.
My breath was shaky at the start, as if my restless body was pulling up a protest. But in the next 15 minutes, I started to feel like I was floating. The air changed, and I was perfectly at peace. So far, everything was going all right. But then, I began hearing a weird sound. At first, it was just a rhythmic wheezing, but then it escalated like someone was having difficulty breathing. I opened one eye just to get a look around. One of the students, a girl sitting right across from me, breathed harder than the rest of us. I thought she was trying too hard and going too far, but suddenly, she started to rock back and forth like a metronome. I saw Mira get up and walk to her quietly. She held her hand and tried to calm her down.
"It's okay. Let it flow. It'll be all right,"
she kept telling the girl. But the girl's rapid breathing increased. She was breathing so heavily now that all of us opened our eyes and had to look at her. Her chest rose and fell as if someone were simultaneously inflating and then deflating it. Her eyes were wide open, with her veins popping out of her forehead. Her eyeballs constantly moved, like a trapped mouse finding its way in a maze. Mira tried to grab her by the shoulder, telling her to calm down, but she didn't bother. Instead, she started laughing. Her laughter sounded as if two or three voices were layered on top of each other. Soon, the entire class became terrified as they observed the girl's changing demeanor. I started panicking when her rocking stopped. She looked right at me. And then, she said something in a language that I never heard. No one in the room seemed to understand what was happening to her. Mira stepped back with her face turning pale. She quickly switched on the lights, and the girl's body suddenly became stiff. Her jaw stretched into this giant hollow, and her eyes rolled back. She collapsed on her yoga mat without saying another word. We were all horrified by what just happened. Mira went close to her, and after about 10 seconds, she opened her eyes.
"Did I fall asleep?"
she asked, rubbing her eyes like a kid waking up from a nap. She couldn't remember anything. Mira told her about her shocking episode, and she walked away immediately. I never saw her again. I cornered Mira after the session.
"What the hell happened to her?"
Mira let out a sigh and closed her eyes.
"Sometimes these karmic meditations can take us to another world. She might have gone somewhere she wasn't supposed to. Something might have come back with her."
"You mean she got possessed?"
Mira nodded slowly, her face still pale with the fear. Any other time, I would have laughed it off, but I did see the girl and her scary reactions. That night, I couldn't sleep. I kept hearing the girl's laughter in my head, and the strange voices that were overlapping with hers. Every time I closed my eyes, I could see her face, how her pupils were swallowed by darkness. I told Mira the next day that I wouldn't take any more meditation classes. She didn't fight back.
Take care of your energy, Sophia,
she said. Since then, I'd gone to other yoga studios, but I don't do kundalini. I would rather not sit in the dark with a circle of candles. I don't even close my eyes when I do breath work. Maybe Mira was wrong. Maybe it was just a psychotic break or an epileptic episode. But what if it wasn't? What if the girl really did bring something back? And what if they're still looking for someone else to ride? I've been teaching yoga for more than 10 years, which is long enough to see the different types of students. The mindful regulars, the fitness fanatics, the spiritual seekers, and even the ones who don't come for yoga at all. This happened last week in one of my morning sessions. I welcomed my new group of students while leading them to their mats. But when I looked around the room, I paused for a second. One of my regulars was back, and it worried me. It was a man in his late 40s, and he always sat in the front row. He had thick eyebrows, grayish hair, and eyes that never blinked. For the past few weeks, he had been coming to my classes. He had never missed a single one of them. He avoided interacting with anyone. He just unrolled his mat, sat down in the front row, and stared at me the whole time. He focused not on the poses or his breathing, but on me. At first, I used to tell myself I was being too paranoid. He might have just been one of those people who really care about yoga. But slowly, I realized that that wasn't the case. I started the session, and I could feel his gaze moving over me like a spotlight. From doing the downward dog to the warrior poses, his eyes never left me, even for a second. I was feeling awful and disgusted by his behavior, but still made it through the session. I didn't want to make a scene or go overboard, but after the class was over and everyone was leaving, I went straight to the studio manager. I pointed at him without him noticing and said,
"Do you see that guy walking out? The one in the gray shirt? He has been acting strangely for the past few days. His constant watching during my sessions makes me feel very uncomfortable."
The manager's smile went away. He carefully noticed the man and said, "We'll talk to him next time, I promise." I nodded in relief and thanked him. The sun was already starting to set when I left the studio. I had parked my car next to the fence on the side lot. I was halfway there, getting my keys out of my bag, when I heard someone behind me. I turned around, and my stomach dropped. It was that creepy yoga student again. "Hi, Ava," he said, his voice too soft, yet full of menace. "You always look so calm when you teach." I didn't say anything. I went to the driver's side, but he stepped in front of me and blocked the door. He leaned in and said, "I think we have a connection. Every time I see you, I feel close to you. When you talk in class, it feels like you're only talking to me." The way he spoke with a grin and twitching eyes hinted he's a complete psycho. I still kept my calm and said strictly,
"I have no interest in you, so move away, right now."
His smile contorted into hate.
You don't mean that. You have always been looking at me."
I was stunned to hear his level of delusion.
"No, I haven't. Step back."
He didn't. Instead, he moved closer to me. His clothes smelled like sour sweat. I gripped my keys harder. He reached out, as if he were going to touch my shoulder. And that's when I saw headlights across the parking lot. A different car was coming in. Taking this opportunity of not being alone anymore in the parking lot with this creep, I started yelling. Not a polite little scream. A scream that came from deep inside me and sounded like a survival instinct. The man's eyes got bigger. He slowly stepped back, saying,
"Stop screaming! You're gonna make me look like a bad guy!"
But I didn't stop. He sprinted as soon as the person in the other car parked and ran over to me.
"Are you all right?"
I shook my head and nodded.
"Call the police."
The police got there after the man had left, but the studio had records. It was easy for them to find him. He was kicked out right away. I even filed a restraining order because I don't believe in second chances. I still teach. I still help people with breathwork, balance, and finding inner peace. However, I now always lock the doors of my car. I park close to the entrance. Before every class, I look at the front row, and sometimes I jump when I feel someone's eyes on me for too long. People think you're safe when you're a yoga teacher. You're in a peaceful place and everything is calm. But the truth is, predators don't always hang out in dark alleys. Sometimes they're sitting cross-legged in the front row with their hands in prayer, watching and waiting. I'm a personal yoga trainer who gives one-on-one sessions, and my classes don't come cheap. I don't teach just as a hobby or simple workout. Most of my clients are either business professionals with stiff backs or elderly socialites who use green juice and downward dog exercises to rejuvenate their youthful energy. Awkward is nothing new to me because I'm more than used to strange. But what happened last year is the main reason why I'm afraid to take new clients. I was by a middle-aged man who recently went through some accident leading to a severe back injury. He said I was referred to him by a former client, and I believed him without digging deeper into his claims. He called himself Mr. Bellamy and offered me 3 times what I usually charge for in-home sessions, even though I was making good money with my regular clients. Who says no to more money, right? I thought I could deal with him, even if something awkward happened, because the money would help me get a bigger apartment at the end of the month. I reached his house, hoping to see a lot of grandeur. The house was big and fancy from the outside, but on the inside it looked like a model home, modern and glassy. There were only white walls, straight lines, and almost no furniture. I felt an unease that moment I stepped in, but I thought it was just rich people being minimalistic. I made some small talk with Mr. Bellamy and put my mat in the living room. He sat on the couch and watched me, with his hands folded neatly in his lap.
"My doctors don't want me to move around much yet, so I would just watch and learn today."
I paused for a second, but then he reminded me that he was going to pay exactly what he promised. So I decided to just get on with the session. Once I began the poses, I noticed a smirk on his face, which got wider with each passing second. The way he watched me sitting in silence, without blinking, made my skin crawl. During some poses, he would ask me to repeat it, saying he needs to memorize my posture well, which only added to my discomfort. Still, I continued while keeping my discomfort hidden behind a tight-lipped smile. 20 minutes into the session, during the sun salutation, I moved to the cobra pose when I noticed a small black camera lens blinking red in the top corner of the room. It was aimed only at me. I froze for a second. A bile churned inside of me, and the empty house and the sketchy man all made sense all of a sudden. This pervert was recording me. I got up, doing my best to conceal my anger, as I was uncertain about what this man was capable of.
"Mr. Bellamy,"
I said, trying to keep my voice steady,
"I think we're done for today. I have taught you enough to remember until next session."
He didn't answer right away, just slowly tilted his head.
"Do a few freestyle poses for me before you go," he insisted in a sick voice.
"No, I'm done."
"I'll pay twice as much."
"I don't care,"
I said as I rolled up my mate and almost sprinted out of the house. When I got to the driveway, my hands were shaking. I blocked his number and deleted the email thread as soon as I got home. I tried to forget about it all. But the next morning, I got an email from an unknown sender. There was no subject, just a link in it. I should have deleted it, but I couldn't help but look. It opened up to a blog about yoga fetishes, a lot of zoomed-in stills from my session, with each pose recorded and stored. I called the cops and the cyber cell right away. I gave them everything, the pictures, the house address, his name, and the email. At night, I couldn't sleep. Every noise outside my apartment window made my heart race. The police called the next day. The officer said,
"Yeah, no one lives at that address."
The house has been empty for months. The owner moved to another state last year. It is now for sale.
"Ma'am," he said slowly, "we don't know who you met."
It's unclear how they gained entry. However, there have been several lock changes in the past few weeks. We're looking into it. I was lucky, but luck isn't enough anymore. Now, I look into every client. I bring a friend with me to the first session, and I will never, ever ignore my instincts again.